God is just so good. He's so good to us. And we, in acknowledging Him, I know that I took a little bit of a bold stand this morning and made you stop gripping the front pew. And but I was reminded just this morning when I was talking to Angela, and she was talking about humility. Humility is such a huge part of our Christian walk. Humility is what we have to be able to follow God. Because if we don't humble ourselves before a living God, then we think we know it all. And if we think we know it all, we're trying to save ourselves. And when we try to save ourselves, we're going to fall short. All have fallen short of the glory of God. And so when we humble ourselves, we come. And she reminded me of something that we do. We've seen at every cop show that we ever watch, when you say, stop, they raise their hands. And this is a universal sign of surrender. I am not going any place. I'm not reaching for a gun. I am surrendering myself to whatever authority is in the room. And today, we raise our hands and worship with full heart and surrender ourselves to the authority that's in the room. And that's God. God is the authority. And so I'm just saying, I surrender to you, Lord. I surrender my heart, my life, everything that I am, I surrender to you. And that surrender, well, for one, is a humbling of ourselves, but it is also a power. You will actually acknowledging the power that's within you to take over your life. And who better to drive, who better to be in the driver's seat than the Creator of the universe, the Creator of heaven and earth? I mean, it's just so arrogant to think I can do things on my own. I can't. I've proved it time and time again that I can't. And so now, worshiping is an essential, well, it's an essential part of our life in God. I think we should worship every day. Every day we should wake up with worship and praise on our lips. But when we, and that's the first house. First house needs to surrender to the Lord. Then the second house, the domestic house, everyone that lives in your house should surrender to the Lord and who He is. And then, of course, the corporate house. This house here, we come together, all in unity, knowing that God is on the throne. And we're going to acknowledge that. As leaders here, we're going to acknowledge that God is on the throne. Now, I might err on some things, and God will correct me. Praise God. But the issue of coming together, one of the essential things that we must do is worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. He is King. He is who He says He is. And I've got to acknowledge that. So if you don't do it, but just once a week, come here ready to do that. You know that God is God. Yes?
I want to praise the Lord. Friday night, Kevin was on his way back to the dorm, and an 8-point deer ran out in front of him.
Wow.
And it totaled his car.
Oh.
Nothing happened to Kevin.
Yeah. Praise God.
When he called me and said, "Aunt Barbie, I just hit a deer," and I said, "Oh my gosh, are you okay?" And he said, I mean, he was shooken up, but if you were to see the car, and not a scratch on Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. And God looking at?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I just know it.
Yes,
and
yes.
I couldn't even sleep. I was just thanking the Lord that my son was okay.
Yes.
I don't know, thank you, Lord.
One of the things that I continue to be amazed at in the human condition is that interpretation of events, when things happen to us, when things happen around us, our interpretation of events must be, what is God saying? What is God doing in this situation? Usually, more than not, in the world, the interpretation of events goes to logic, goes to what we think might have been. It even comes from our background. Well, my mama taught me this, so therefore this is how it is. And God is trying to get our attention through many, many, many ways and through many, many things. God is trying to get our attention. So when we acknowledge that God is doing what he is doing, what does Philemon 6 say? When we acknowledge, we make it more effectual. We make it an effect in the earth, effect in our hearts, effect in our world. When we acknowledge the Lord, we're making it effectual. So, thank you. Thank you for that praise. I want to tell you about last week. I was ecstatic. I was, when we were able to drop any pretense of agenda, when we opened it up to the floor, you guys spoke. And this is not a spectator sport. This is not to see how God, how Arthur's going to do, or how Jimmy's going to do, or even how Sharon's going to sing, or Beth's going to play. This is not a spectator sport. This is a participatory sport. This is a place where we come and we all participate. And so when you participated last week, you brought an edification to the body. And the building of itself in Christ. It was a building of itself in Christ. It was an amazing thing. It was a great thing. Why should I preach when your words, what you said, was the very action that I was going to preach about? Isn't that crazy? Why would I forfeit the actual doing of the word to speaking of the word? It was the doing. It was the doing. And y'all did it. And I praise God for it. Thank you, God, that you did that. And don't ever worry about whether Arthur's going to have a chance to speak. I'm just obedient to what God wants me to do. And if he says sit down and shut up, then I'm going to sit down and shut up. And sometimes I've missed it. Sometimes I've preached when God didn't want me to. But it's more times that we give place to God. We give place to God in everything. So it's so wonderful. God is so wonderful. We spoke about holiness this morning. We sang about holiness this morning. And I was here Wednesday when they were, when Judah was practicing. And that holiness just stuck with me. It stuck with me before. And I asked the Lord, I said, God, even in holiness, we can become selfish. Even in holiness, we can become that, oh, you know, if I'm holy, then good things will happen to me. If I'm holy and if I'm righteous, then it's for my benefit. Holiness is what the actual meaning of holiness. It is a sacred, physically pure, morally blameless, and it is that one come, one thing, it is to the saints. So we are the saints that God has set us apart for whose glory? Not ours, but His. So when we are set apart to be holy, to have holiness in our lives, to actually live in holiness, it is for the glory of God. And I thought, wow, how great is it that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, spoke with the disciples and those who were converted into being a Christian, that when the first church came together, they were all united around this being set apart, this being a Christian that we've watered down so much in this day and age, but they were Christians who gave their lives, literally, who were out there, who were saying, if I say I'm a Christian, they can take me and kill me without repercussion. Because you were a Christian, set apart, holy, holy for Him. And what that meant to them was, you're not giving honor to the King. You are now a betrayer of the laws of the land. And you see, it was almost a law for you to kill a Christian. Because you were disobeying the local law. Not that they were, but it annoyed them that they had any other allegiance than what the King, who the King was in place. And so they came and they said, we are of a different kind. We are of a different way, and we are to be holy. Love this scripture. He said, God said, be holy, for I am holy. What is that saying? He says, be holy because I am. He's saying, if you want to show me any kind of admiration, if you want to show your dedication to anything, be like me. Be like me. Show yourself as holy. Why? Because I'm holy. Who chooses a life of suffering? Well, not many hands go up. Who chooses a life of a disciplined life, a life that you're going, oh my gosh, this is hard. This discipleship thing, oh, I'm being taught. Not only being taught, but expected to obey. Oh, wow. I've been taught a lot of things, but now you're asking me to obey? Well, I'm going to choose whether I'm going to obey or not. Really? Well, then you have to consider, are you holy? Is one of the requirements that God is asking for His people. To show ourselves as Christians, as men, sons and daughters of God. Holiness. Oh. What is one of the biggest excuses for not being holy? Is we take the scripture and we go, it's okay because God is love and He cares for, He's going to love me no matter what. And that's a true statement. He's going to love you no matter what. And the issue becomes, stop making excuses for yourself and follow God. Stop saying, I can do this. I had a lady tell me one time, she says, God told me not to tithe. when did she tell you that? When did He tell you that? When did He, you know... Oh, I was in prayer, and he said, don't tithe. God will never speak out of context of his word. God will never speak out of context of this word of God. It is always, always, always what he wants in this book. So if you tell me God told me not, then you need to tell me I'm not supposed to lie. I'm not supposed to steal. Those are all words. Yeah, don't do that. But you start telling me from direct things that God has told you to do, you're making excuses for yourself. And I'm going, no. He wants me to be holy. Do you understand that obedience is a portion? And I'm telling you a portion of holiness. It is just a portion. Following through. Now, what's the other portion of holiness? Attitude. We not only need to obey, but to do it with our hearts, loving God. Loving God. Now, I wasn't this huge disciplinarian, but when I told my kids something, I expected them to do it. So, when they didn't do it, we had a confrontation. Why didn't you do it? Well, that was a whole conversation. But expectation of obedience is part of our holiness. The other is doing it begrudgingly. I'm going to do it, but man, I'm going to complain the whole time I'm doing it. God has a lot of grace for you. He gives you a certain amount of time to change your heart. That's the love of God. That's who God is. But when does that grace run out? Hebrews says, by now you should. You've been drinking on the milk for so long, but now you should be eating meat. Okay. The word of God is to feed everyone in here. From milk to meat. And take that part and be nourished. Why? For your holy lives. For the things that God wants for you. We need to present ourselves to the Lord. We come in this place to present ourselves to God. This is me. As ugly as it may be, as pure as it may be, this is me humbling myself before you, presenting ourselves to the Lord. We need to prepare ourselves. To prepare ourselves every Sunday. It's not, oh, I got to get my hair fixed. I got to get everything done. I've got to. Remember, there's damnation in daily duties. Figure out what you need to do to get here, to have your heart ready, prepared to visit the King. See, I didn't think that one up. It just came out. How do I prepare myself to be in front of my King? Well, it's humility. It's knowing that I will do whatever He asks me to do, and I will love Him. I will love on Him. Learn to obey. Oh. I'm going to read you some scriptures here in a minute. You're going, oh, wow. Even Jesus had to learn to obey. Isn't that incredible? And how he learned? It's not, didn't stop with him. It's with us too. There is an hour of promotion. There is an hour in which he recognizes your efforts. He sees where you're at. He sees what you're doing. He sees. I was given a... this lady, well, I was pretty close to, had a dream, and she lives in Oklahoma. And in this dream, she called me up and she said, "Arthur, I got to tell you this dream that I had." He said, "You were in this car and you were driving, and I stopped you. And there was this big celebration. And in this celebration was because I had a name change. A name change in the scriptures denotes that you have gone to another level." And he says, you've got this name change. And we were celebrating. We had cake. We had banners. We had confetti. It was a huge, and you stopped and they said, "You have this name change. Great, Arthur, this is so wonderful." And I said, "This is wonderful, this is great, but I don't have time to celebrate with you guys. I gotta go. I got things I gotta do for God. I gotta go." This was many years ago. And yet it is still the truth. I don't have time. I don't have time. And the time is getting closer, not to the end of the world, but to the end of me. And I got things I got to do, things I got to say, things that God wants me to iron out. Like this 28-year-old his relatives came to my office and he goes, "Oh, did you hear about the wreck?" And he was my cousin, he was my nephew, he was this, he was that. And I said, he was also 28 and had children and a wife. He didn't know he was going to be in that wreck and no longer be here. Our lives are in the hands of God. Our lives... She's waving at me, I've got to say it. Our lives are in the hands of God. He determines. He determines where I go, what I do, how far I go. And I am to present myself, humble myself, and learn to obey. But there will be an hour of promotion for all of you. For all of you who decide to follow him, it will be recognizable. You will know when God decides for you this day.
I'll set you on the level. I have had an hour of promotion recently, and Sharon can testify to this. Like, there are things
that insights that I'm having that I have never had before, and they're coming more and more frequently, and I'm just going, "Oh my gosh, this is a wonderful place." But in this wonderful place is also a place of responsibility. He wants me not only to have the revelation, but to speak the revelation. And so I take it seriously, and I believe that God is, whatever hour I'm in, and I am to do his will and his work in that. There is fulfilling of that purpose, of that promotion. Turn to Philippians 2, 5 through 9. Jesus presented himself. Philippians 2, 5 through 9. My nose is still running. Talking about crybabies, huh? Philippians 2, 5 through 9. Let us, the same attitude and purpose and humble mind, be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility. Who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained, but stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity so as to assume the guise of a servant, a slave, in that he became like men and born a human being. And after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death and even death on the cross. Therefore, because he stooped so low, God has highly exalted him and has freely bestowed on him the name that is above all names. So we are to take the example of Christ. And he presented himself. And he lowered himself. Let me tell you, God gives us so many choices. And we think that circumstances, we think that our surroundings, or we think that other people have control. They do not. They do not. Let me tell you, they do not. My mom was one of the worst of these. And I just remember her. She would be yelling and screaming at me. And I'd smart off. And I'd say, Mom, you don't have to do this. And these were her next words. And this happened time and time again. She would say, you make me this way. So I was the cause of all the problems that were happening at that particular moment. You make me. And she thoroughly believed that. The issue is, do we allow circumstances to dictate what happens in our hearts? It doesn't have the power. You have the power. And so when you give it place, it overcomes you. You have to be the one to say, that's enough. That's enough. We're not going to go there. I must allow God to take his place in every situation, in everything that I do, in everything that I see. The interpretation of events should always come from the Holy Spirit. Should always come, God, what are you doing in this time? What are you showing me? What, you know, sometimes he doesn't answer you. Sometimes we got to ask. Why is that? If he has the power to tell us anything at any time, why do we have to ask? You know why? Because it's humbling. Ask someone who hates to ask. Well, you could have asked for help. I know, but you know, I want to do it myself. Ask the Lord. He's ready to speak. He's ready to tell you. He's ready at any given moment. 1 John 3:16. Not John 3:16, 1 John 3:16. By this we come to know, progressively to recognize, to perceive, to understand the essential love that He had laid down His own life for us, and we ought to lay our lives down for those who are our brothers in Him. Whoa. So God, Jesus, gave the most sacrificial thing He could do. He gave His life. And you know what this verse is saying? Because He did that, I should be willing to give up my life for Him. For Him. Whoa. Christ in me, giving my life for Him. Well, what? How can I do that? For one, be available to Him. For one, know of His needs. Know what I can do. If He asks, what the word say if a brother asks you for something? If a brother asks you for a tunic, what should you do? Give it your own. Give him two. Go beyond. If he asks you to go 1 mile, what do? You go 2 miles. Oh, man. Oh, you're asking a lot from me. It's part of holiness, people. It's part of living our lives with one another in this place of holiness. Being set apart. This congregate gathering of Christians. Let us spit. Of Christians are to do what? Give ourselves to the Lord. Present myself to God. And let Him tell me how I am to lay down my life for Him. How am I to lay down my life for my brother? How am I to lay down my life for my sister? I don't know how long. A few months ago, we had a service where I prophesied over everybody in here. It didn't take a long time, but I did. and I prophesied over Jeanette, and I said, God has joined us together so that I am to partner with her to be able to do whatever I need to do to help her. I'm just going to tell on you. She has a hard time doing that. Why? I don't know why. But I said, let me do this for you. Oh, it's okay. It's all right. I can take care of it. You see, God just used you for an illustration. But the issue is, God has something to do with her. Right? And if it's going to be through me, then let it be through me. Let it be what it's going to be. And what will happen after that? She will partner up with someone else. And she will be to a place where she can do whatever God wants her. She's there now. She's there now. I'm telling you, she's there now. Let us partner together with one another. Why? To present ourselves to God. Why do I do these things? Because God tells me to. Why do you do those things? Because God tells you to. My daughter is having just minor financial situations. And I said, give. She does more. And I said, God says this. His word says this. If you give, I will return back to you. Right? Is that what he says? Is that what the word says? So why do I have times when that money's not there? And I said, you got to be bold before God. I want to tell you something that I do. I add up all the money that I have given. And I have an expectation that God give back either 30, 60, 100 fold. That's a lot. And I call him on it. I say, God, this is what you told me. This you said, if I do this, I could have this. Where is it? Where is that? Well, God, Arthur, that's pretty bold. You're talking to the God of the universe, you know. How can you talk to him that way? He told me to come boldly before the throne of God and see that he will do what he says he will do. Don't shy back. That is Satan stealing from you. This false nobility. No, don't. Don't fall for false nobility. Be humble. But when God says, come before the throne boldly, he's meaning. I take that seriously. Jimmy and Beth make fun of me because the word says, you don't have because you don't ask. Arthur will ask. Now the rest of that scripture is, God, he won't give because you ask with wrong motives. So I have to check my heart, you know. It's not a simple thing. I got to check my heart, make sure everything's okay, everything's all right. But I got to come boldly before him. And, you know, he always knows my heart. Always. John 10:15. Even as truly as the Father knows me, and I also know the Father, I am giving my very own life and laying it down on behalf of the sheep. Thank you, Jesus. We need to prepare ourselves. John 1:14. And the Word, Christ, became flesh, human, incarnate, tabernacled, fixed his tent of flesh, lived a while among us, and we actually saw his glory, his honor, his majesty. Such glory as an only begotten Son receives from the Father, full of grace, favor, loving kindness, and truth. Christ prepared himself to be the sacrificial lamb. He prepared his heart, his life, everything that he went through. He knew. He knew who he was. One of the biggest mistakes we can do is not know who we are in God. One of the biggest mistakes we can do is not realize the power of God that is within you to do what he says he will do. To know that he wants to transform you, transform your mind into a place where he can dwell, to prepare your heart for a place where he can live in holiness with him. When we live in holiness, we are preparing that place for him to dwell. And when he dwells in us, he will act on our behalf. He will do what he says he will do. He is faithful to that. He is not a man that can lie. So, turn to Hebrews 5:8. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. Although he was the Son of God, he learned active, special obedience through what he suffered. You know what just came to mind? That any time we suffer, what is the thing that we do? We complain. Oh my God, it's so hard. I don't like doing it. I don't want to do it no more. You laughing because you've been there. I don't want to do this anymore. Why should I have to do this? And yet he says, Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. So when I'm suffering, what is my take on this suffering? What is the interpretation of events? My interpretation of events is usually, it's not fair. They just singled me out. They don't like me. What other things? You know your own little excuses. You've said them out loud. You've said them out loud to your wife or to your husband. I got to do this because, yeah. Maybe it's because you haven't learned obedience through your suffering. You want to get rid of suffering? Really, honestly. You want to get rid of suffering in your life? Turn your heart around. Turn your heart around. Now you say, well, then what? Well, then you go to the next level. And you suffer at that level. And you go, oh, wow. When I was in first grade, it wasn't that bad. Like when I'm in second grade. And we get older. And we learn obedience through what we're suffering in that time. Nobody is excused from this portion of the Bible. When you think the grass is greener on the other side, when you think, oh man, they got it easy, let me tell you what, no one is exempt from suffering and learning obedience. No one. It's just the way God chose to get us to where we need to be. If Jesus had to suffer, how come Eric doesn't have to? Eric, how come you don't have to suffer? You have this wonderful life. It's great. It's wonderful. Yeah. No. You see, Eric is an exhorter. That's his gift. That's his gifting. He is an exhorter, and he does it with great abandon. I appreciate him so much because he exhorts me all the time. I came out of the back just today. He goes, you should have seen the dream that I had. This place was filled and it was packed. I'm going, sound like a shoulder-to-shoulder dream, doesn't it? I believe it. I still believe that. I'm not worried about the results. I'm not worried about when it's going to happen. I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing today. Am I preaching what God wants me to do today? It's up to God for the results. But we're not spinning our wheels and not getting anywhere. I believe we're getting traction. I believe God is working in you. His word is truth, and His word is active, and it will not come back to Him void in you. So, let's just keep doing what we do. And people show up, then they're meant to hear. They're meant to gain faith by hearing the word. And they're meant, what? To obey the word of God. You don't know how many times I have spent needlessly going, oh my God, we're so small. It's like, why are you doing this to me, God? To you? To you? I'm doing this to you? No, He's not doing anything to me. He's going, I gave you a place of responsibility. You just be diligent about being responsible. Okay. So if I please God, I'm happy. If I don't, I'm in trouble. A lot of people have come up to me, well, I don't like worship. Well, I don't like what you preach. Or I don't like... I'm going, I don't care. I'm probably not that rude. But I don't care. I don't care if you don't like. Because we don't come here to please you. You don't have a youth group. You don't have a bus. You don't have... We don't have a lot of things. I'll just let you know right now. It's too cold. You got fans. You're out. This was one of the greatest complaints. You guys are still decorated like back in the 70s. That matters to you? That you have a nicer place to worship? It did to them. I want to go where there's smoke. That was wrong. I'm sorry, God. I shouldn't have said that. The reality is, we're going to learn to obey through what we suffer. Stay in the pocket. Stay in the pocket. Quarterbacks sometimes get so concerned about the whole huge 350-pound man rushing to them, he loses focus of where to throw the ball. He says, stay in the pocket. You're going to have people coming at you. You're going to have demonic presence in your place. It's going to be real. It's going to be true. Stay in the pocket with God. There's where you'll be safe. Philippians 2, 7 through 11, I'm not going to read it. But there was an hour of promotion for Jesus. And in Romans 5, 19, there was the fulfillment of that purpose. Jesus died for his sheep. Do we, the song is so impactful. When Jimmy was saying, worship the Lord out of your own hearts out here, you have to know that God was calling for something out of you. Holiness. Holiness was basic, foundational, and it was essential for the church of God to continue to move forward. The preparation of the disciples was to go forth and bring people in and know how great Jesus was. But it was, they were holy. They knew what they were. They weren't perfect. There was a time where Paul rebuked Peter because he was preaching the wrong thing. But they were holy in their heart toward God. Let us be holy people. Will you get made fun of? Yes, you will. You mean you don't do that? Oh, I can't believe. Holiness is not popular. There's not a club of holiness that I know of. It should be the church. Consider this week. Consider before you leave and when you get home. God, I hunger and I thirst for holiness. And let righteousness live within me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you, sanctify this word for us. Sanctify this word for us. Set it apart that we may endure, but Father, be marked by holiness. And so, Father, I want to be holy because you are holy. You share that with me. And I thank you that you share that with me. God, show me where I'm not. Show me where I fail. Show me, God. Some are obvious, some not so obvious. But God, show me. In Jesus' name.